Okay, good morning, everyone. My name is Larry Burrell. I am a doctoral student in University of Florida Clinical and Health Psychology program, so I apologize if this isn't like public health directly, but I'll do my best. So we're going to be talking today about executive functioning and IV drug use in Black women, and as a clinical psychologist, the implications for treatment are going to be pretty forefront for me. So to begin, public health significance, we know that there's $193 billion in cost for drug use and around 17,000 deaths per year. So that would set up a pretty significant problem. I think we're all agreeing, or else we probably wouldn't be in this room. I like this figure just because it shows some interesting, it breaks the drug use down by ethnic and racial groups. Specifically, what we're talking about, what I like to draw your attention to, is the Black group right here. It's out of the large ethnic groups in America. This is the one that's the most prevalent. Moving on to this next figure, I like this because it shows the gender breakdown, and what we want to focus on specifically is here in this 12 to 17-year-old range, where we see that the women have higher prevalence of drug use. This is important because it sets up the study that we were talking about. So we see high rates in Blacks, African Americans, high rates in young women especially, and then we're talking about intravenous drug use. So what does that do? It's linked to an array of deleterious health effects, which you're all aware of. We just discussed the HIV, HCV, comorbid drug use, and social and behavioral problems, which leads us into why we're studying executive functioning. Just to give you a quick background on what executive functioning is for those of you that don't know, we have a whole, I like this slide because it's the whole brain, but pretty much we're talking about just this pink area up here. Our executive functions are the abilities to make decisions, planning, problem solving, regulate your emotions, and all the higher things that, you know, quote, separate us from the other animals or lesser primates. So how do we study executive function in this particular task? Well, we use what we call the Wisconsin card sorting task. It's a measure of complex problem solving that's widely used in neuropsychology. It basically, here's a figure here. Basically, what you have to do is take this card and match it to one of these four target cards based on certain parameters. And the what we studied here, the outcome measures, are specifically total errors. So that looks at if you don't do well in the task, your ability to solve complex problems, we're assuming, is impaired. And then additionally, we examine perceptive errors. That's when you make the same mistake over and over again. And that indicates, you know, inability to change set, or set shift is what we call it in psychology. So what we wanted to do, bringing this all together, is to test whether Black female drug users with impairments in executive functioning have higher risks of lifetime drug use. I had the four hypotheses up here. First two basically are looking at heroin use and their relation to Wisconsin card sorting task performance, and the second two are looking at IV cocaine use and its relation to IV cocaine use. It's a cross-sectional study, secondary data analysis from the Neuro HIV Epidemiologic Study. We use the entire sample of Black women in the study. That's 240 ladies. Measures were all these things that we had in here, and specifically the neuropsychological test of the Neuro Wisconsin card sorting and a few others. I used SPSS to analyze the data to calculate univariate statistics, ANOVAs, and the logistic regressions. These are results of the demographics for the sample. I chose to put in the overall sample, the whole study demographics, just because I think it's important to highlight the fact that women in the sample are not alone. We don't exist in a vacuum. So the men are also, you know, influencing their behaviors as well. So but what we see here is a pretty high percentage of biologically confirmed drug use. Our sample was 46% female, 60% were Black. And, you know, relatively low as far as education and some SES, so pretty typical, I imagine, drug-using sample. We found for hypothesis one, we're saying that the Wisconsin, making errors on, total errors on Wisconsin's card sort equated to about 2.5 times more likelihood of lifetime heroin use, and then perceptive errors, 2.26% increased odds of IV heroin use for that. Cocaine, again, 2.5%, 2.5 times the odds if you have lower executive function for injecting IV cocaine. This one, it's backwards. It's if you don't inject, or if you have good or not impaired on your perceptive errors, you're at half the times odds likely. Sorry, I backwards that up. But anyway, so discussion and interpretations. Wisconsin card sort errors relate to IV heroin and cocaine use. It's a cross-sectional study, so of course we can't imply any causation. I'm not sure if the women were impaired before they started using drugs or if the drugs caused the impairment. What we can say relatively confidently is that the impairment, you know, harder drugs lead to greater impairment, which is, you know, pretty important finding, I would hope you would agree. Perceptive errors are also related to IV heroin and cocaine use. We're assuming that this is going to be IV drugs or impair your ability to change your behaviors. Not necessarily, you know, overall, but if you're thinking about the substance abusing population, especially the IV users, where the primary goal of most days for these individuals is to get well, if you will, it's kind of hard to change other behaviors, and that has implications for the treatment. So these findings relate to HIV incidences and comorbid substance use and comorbid mental health. Executive deficits, are arguing, must be addressed. There's some work done out of a group in Toronto where they do this thing called goal management training. It's, for those of you that are kind of mental health aware, it's kind of like a mindfulness intervention with a specific focus on, you know, changing these behaviors, increasing your aptitude to think about things before you actually go ahead and do it. I would suggest that as a potential intervention to address these findings and hopefully decrease incidence and prevalence of IV drug use in this population. Additionally, also, the literature has shown that motivational interviewing is really effective in alcohol and most likely other substance abuse. It also takes that type of intervention, uses the person's own motivations, and you discuss it with them. It's less directive, and therefore, hopefully, would be able to increase their self-efficacy and thereby decrease their injection drug use by working on their executive function. There were some limitations, as I've already mentioned. It was cross-sectional data. There's self-report biases for you know, the IV drug use. It could be actually higher in the sample than we're aware of, but nothing really you can do about that. And, of course, it's geographically restricted to just Baltimore. Like I said, future directions should include longitudinal studies, cross-validation studies using different measures of executive functioning. For example, the Tower of London test would be really nice. And finally, some objective measures of executive functioning. So if we could get some imaging studies done, I think that would be really helpful to see if there's any changes in the gray matter or in the connectivity of the white matter tracts using like a DTI or some other scans. These are my references. I'd like to acknowledge all the participants in the neuro studies. Of course, we can't do the work that we do without them. Allison Diggins, who wrote the abstract and unfortunately couldn't be here today, but allowed me to give this talk to you guys. My mentor, Dr. Nicole Whitehead, and Eugene Dunn was also instrumental in putting this together. Dr. Latimer is the principal investigator, and the rest of these people give me a lot of money, so I had to put them up there too. Thank you so much, and I will take any questions. I'm sorry, I might have breezed through that really quickly. What I was saying was motivational interviewing is a documented empirical intervention for all types of substance abuse. It started initially, I do believe, in alcohol. And what I was hoping we could do is that use that same, actually I've done it working as a counselor before in Baltimore, using motivational interviewing to decrease substance abuse in this population, I think would be very effective, as opposed to some other treatment modalities, for example, cognitive behavioral therapy, where that might not necessarily be the most efficacious way to go. The motivational interviewing, you can do it in group format, but I was thinking more as an individualized treatment. Yes, sir.
Was there any relationship between the time they last used drugs and the time they last used injecting drugs and their performance on the Wisconsin Heart Sorts?
The results I presented were actually for lifetime injection drug use. We did have measures there, but I didn't actually get a chance to look at that. That would be an interesting finding. Right. Exactly. Another really cool thing to look at with the longitudinal study, definitely. Yes, sir.
In terms of future directions, would there be value in looking at this in terms of other drugs, most particularly marijuana, considering the fact that it's probably going to be legal in the whole country in the next 2 or 3 years, and what we may be in store for?
Definitely. So the question is, can we look at this in terms of other drugs? We actually did do that for this particular study. It turned out non-injection drug use wasn't related to the executive functioning as we measured it in this study. However, I am working on several. This is one of the first years, so now as I'm moving forward, marijuana is becoming very salient in our current work, and I definitely am working with Dr. Cook down at UF to work on a grant to get some more information on how marijuana affects executive function and a variety of other behaviors. Yes.
So you mentioned non-injection drug use. So did you test female users of different types of substances, and what were those substances?
We did have non-injection drugs. So it was inhalation cocaine and inhalation heroin. There was cannabis. this patient was sick. Really, there's like every drug, ketamine, weird GHB. People like never use. So we had very small samples for some of those, so we couldn't analyze all of them, but the ones that we did analyze, like I was saying, was inhalation cocaine, inhalation heroin, cannabis was examined, and a few other club drugs and stuff, but none of those came out significantly.
And even with their polydrug users?
Yes, there were polydrug users.
And this sample was injection heroin?
Injection heroin and injection cocaine we looked at.
Oh, and injection. And they may have been using other substances too.
Possible, yes. We did not look at alcohol, actually. I just stuck to the more illicit drugs for this one. But, yeah, I know alcohol is definitely very comorbid with all the other ones. So, and as its effects on inhibition, which is, of course, related to executive function, I'm sure we'd see some interesting results, but it wasn't part of this one. Sorry.
Okay.